How do you mean that?
Well, I mean that there are the colors and the beauties, the designs, the beautiful way things appear. People themselves, dull people that I thought dull, appear fascinating, interesting, mysterious, wonderful. But that's only the beginning.
Welcome to Strange People, Weird Worlds. Let's get this show started.
Should we start it off with a cheers?
Yeah, let's. That's nice. Let's start off with a little cheers.
Cheers, everyone.
Let's cheers to Steve.
Cheers to Steve's business opportunity.
Cheers to Steve's business opportunity. Good luck to you, Steve, wherever you are.
Even though you won't hear this.
Not here today, even though we rescheduled for you and moved days for you to be here today. That's okay. And now I have to bust my ass and, you know, edit the show and all before work tomorrow and get it ready to go. But that's fine, Steve. That's good. It's good.
You know, I actually kind of worked out. I had to get my car worked on and shit yesterday.
No, yeah, actually not doing it yesterday was great. We went to the Streetlight Manifesto concert Friday night and Saturday night at the Ogden.
You were fucked up.
It was awesome, yeah. Friday night I went hard.
We were old people fucked up.
Yeah.
We didn't get super drunk. We just got really tired.
Yeah,
sore.
You know, I had like three or four whiskeys and you know, jumped around in one spot, you know.
Yeah. The next morning we were like, oh, why does our neck hurt so much?
Yeah, so Saturday we almost didn't go. And then I was like, I have tickets. Like, we need to go. And I didn't buy a t-shirt yet, so.
Yeah.
We didn't even stay through the whole thing either. That's how old we're getting.
Yeah, we made it through the, we made it through the album. So, anyways.
Good.
It was great, though. It was my first ska show. I've never
been to a ska show.
Never been.
Yeah, it was a punk rock ska show. Streetlight Manifesto is really good, too. If you've never listened to them, they are the best at it.
Yeah.
They were great.
So speaking of experiments, before we get there, does someone want to do an experiment for me real quick? Because that I don't know if that tastes right or wrong.
I'm not going to eat gummy bears and drink beer.
Well, you eat one of these and then taste Craig's beer and tell me if it tastes weird.
Which one did you have?
The beer tastes fine.
Because what if I have one that tastes that complements the beer?
Then you're good.
Okay.
Then you're good.
We're doing strawberry.
Strawberry.
Strawberry Coors Banquet.
Yeah, Banquet goes with anything though. So
that's what I'm thinking. Like it's they put lime in this shit.
Banquet's like an everything beer.
I think it tastes good.
Could have been my black and mild, just black people thing.
You could drink this at the beach. You could drink this at a wedding.
I'm telling you.
Drink this at a funeral.
Drink it at a banquet.
Everything.
Wow.
Oh.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Craig,
you just...
Blowing minds.
Getting weird here.
Yeah, blowing minds.
You guys have a deal with Coors that I don't know about?
I wish
they were paying me to talk about this golden, delicious, refreshing beer.
Definitely fell in this river as a child, so therefore...
Did you grow up in Golden?
No.
Where'd you grow up?
In Arizona, but I was born here.
Oh, cool.
But on a visit back, I was peeing in this river and fell in, so I guess it's my
fault. That's what
you
get, yeah. Don't pee in our river.
I was five. I didn't know, man.
One of my supervisors at work, he grew up in the Golden area, in the canyons, and he talks about how he and his brothers used to, as teenagers, go and jump the fence and just, steal kegs from the Coors Brewery.
That's pretty hype.
Which, when you get to know him now, he's very down to business, so then you hear these stories, almost don't believe him.
So then that makes me think that if he decided to do that shit again, it'd be even better because he's down to business. He's like, yo, here's the blueprints, here's the plans, here's your walkie-talkies, let's get it done.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Strange People, Weird World. My name is Greg Tanner. With me, as always, is Josh Hart. Filling in for Steve McMorrow is the beautiful Miranda Hofer.
Well, thank you.
And with us again today is Cody Mansfield to help us finish out this Philadelphia project.
Hey, hello. Cody.
Yeah. Welcome back, Cody.
Glad to be here again.
So, if you didn't listen last week, you probably should have. There's really nothing stopping you right now from pausing this and listening to the last episode. But, if you don't want to do that, we talked about the Philadelphia experiments. Basically, the Philadelphia Experiment is a alleged government project where they tried to cloak a destroyer ship from radar, but instead they ended up making it completely invisible. Not just that, but actually dematerializing, traveling through time and space, and ending up in Norfolk, Virginia.
They Star Trek'd it. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And while it was rematerializing in Norfolk, Virginia, they cut the cord on the generators and all that to stop the project, which made the ship come flying back to Philadelphia, leaving men infused in the ship's hull. the whole experience let men go crazy because they ended up through the vortex of time and space, and even after the experiment, like, there would be people who would fade in and out of the push or the vortex or whatever,
like,
they want to call
Manhattan.
It. Kind of.
Materializing here and there, different parts of it.
Yeah, and at the end we talked about it was supposedly a Philadelphia newspaper documented a bar fight amongst Navy sailors, and while they were fighting, they were coming in and out of view.
Oh, cool.
It was pretty interesting.
Has anyone seen Galaxy Quest?
No. Yes.
You guys have never seen Galaxy Quest?
With Tim Allen?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
So, yes.
It's a spoof on Star Trek and William Shatner's experience with it, and all I can think of is the part where they're trying to transport Tim Allen off of the rock planet, and he accidentally grabs the, like, pig thing, and when it reappears on the ship, it's, like, turned inside out and exploding, and you see its ribs. Do you know
yes.
that part?
Yes,
okay.
I remember that now, yeah.
It's like, why are you just really describing my nightmare right there.
So, yeah, it was just bad news for everybody and turned into, you know, the government brainwashing everybody so they don't remember what happened, and, you know, lots of stuff like that. All this came from a man named Carlos Allende. And so last week we just explored the story of the Philadelphia experiment. This week we're actually delving into how the story came to be and how it blew up to what it was.
How Carlos reported on it?
Yeah. Yeah. Who is Carlos Allende and all this stuff?
Is that his real name?
It is not. Okay. That was an astute observation, my dear. Carlos Allende, a.k.a. Carl Allen, is the man responsible for this. But before we dive in, just a couple of things today. Sources for this show mainly really come from two things. There's a History's Mysteries, which is an old History Channel show. You can catch that on YouTube. Pretty good little show. And really, the bulk of this research comes from a website called The Philadelphia Experiment A to Z by Andrew Hockheimer. You can catch the site at DE173.com, as in Defense Escort 173. That's the USS Eldridge. And, a really good site. Very thorough. This guy's actually, they actually interview him on History's Mysteries. He's got a list of all the shows he's been on, all the cool stuff he did. So he really breaks it down. I really didn't need to research much anywhere else. I mean, I did other stuff, but I decided to keep the bulk of the information from him. Other than that, don't forget, we also have no show next week. No show. It'll be the first Wednesday since we started that you don't get to hear our pretty faces talk.
I almost asked why, and then I just remembered we're going camping.
we are going camping. Also, the reason I'm taking an extra week off to get ready for our celebrity guests, who I guess I'll tell you who they are now. We're actually getting a comic book writer and a comic book artist by the name of David Pipos is the writer, and Jorge Santiago Jr. is the artist. Go ahead and check him out. You can follow him at Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff. They're going to be talking about their comic book Spencer and Locke. I've already read it, and the sequel's actually coming out too. It's a little 4-part series, or you can just buy the whole graphic novel as one set now. Spencer and Locke, it's basically as if Calvin and Hobbes grew up, but lived in kind of the Sin City universe, like really kind of twisted universe. It's really,
comic
really cool.
Noir.
Yeah, it's a really, really good series. So check it out, but I'm going to let them come talk about it, and I'm sure they can do it more justice than us. Also, don't forget to rate and comment on the show on iTunes. We really appreciate it. 5-star rating. Leave a good little comment. Anything else, you know, keep it to yourself. If you want some stickers, you can email us at spweirdworld@gmail.com. Tell us what your favorite show was. Tell us what your least favorite show was. Tell us how much you like Cody. Tell us how much you like Miranda. Tell us whatever. I don't care. I'll send
leave me
you,
out of it.
I'll send you free stickers. And I think that's it. I think that's it. Ready, guys? Ready to dive into this thing?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so just like last week, the shit gets weird. It only keeps getting weirder. Somehow, like, the real-life stuff is almost weirder than the actual story.
So get your fruit snacks ready if you got them.
Get your fruit snacks ready. You know, like I said, roll them if you got them. Smoke them once they're rolled. And I think that might help you dive into this little weird world a little bit better.
That actually might give me a paranoia if I were to be high right now.
You know, I'm not going to lie. There's one time I was doing the research for this episode, And, like, the whole website and everything I was on just, like, just snapped out, just shut off, you know, like, back to my home screen. And, you know, you have that half-second thought, like...
They know.
They know. Yeah. Am I being watched?
Have you ever heard Marcus Parks and Henry talk about that on last podcast?
Oh, yeah, left,
yeah. How, like, sometimes they'll be researching something, and then they'll be on the phone with each other, and they'll hear, like, someone click in, and they're like, oh, we're bugged. We know it.
Yeah, they get into some dark stuff, too. All right. Well, in January of 1956, a man named a man named Dr. Morris K. Jessup, not a doctor,
Jessup,
would receive letters from Carlos M. Allende, not his name.
I'm sorry, what was the year you said? What time frame are we in?
1956. So Dr. Morris K. Jessup, again, not a doctor, but he was an author and scientist and UFO investigator. He released a book in 1955 titled The Case of the UFO. Now, this was, like, kind of the first, like, legitimate, like, somebody making a case for UFOs. And it was such a big deal, he was actually kind of blackballed from the scientific community, which he actually was a part. You know, he studied astronomy and things like that. So he's kind of blacklisted by his peers just for writing this book. After that, like I said, 1956, he starts receiving letters from a man named Carlos Allende. They're very weird. He capitalizes random stuff and, you know, underlines random things, underlines capitalized random things.
As though there's a code hidden within?
Like, he's trying to emphasize certain things. Like, he's just, it's very bad English. It's really, really bad. I don't know if he was trying to sell the Allende thing, like he really was Mexican or something. Because, again, this is a man named Carl Allen.
Never trust a man named Carl.
Yeah. So I
what?
I got...
Why?
What? Have I'm you ever met a man named Carl?
Carl Sagan is pretty trustworthy.
Who the fuck is Carl Sagan?
Author.
I know a guy named Carl author. Who did me wrong, personally.
What'd he do?
He was kind of a friend of some... He was a friend of... my brother, basically, and he didn't terribly do me wrong, but, like, he's a mechanic and stuff like that, and I had him do my brakes, and, like, I paid for my brakes, and he put them on and all that, and I gave him, like, and I gave him, like, $75 or something like that for working on him. And, again, I paid for all the parts and all that. And I see he calls my brother bitching later on, like, saying I ripped him off and all this other stuff.
You're right. I'm convinced all Carls are untrustworthy now.
That's it.
the only Carl... I've never actually met a Carl. But the only Carl I've ever...
I know Carl.
...been, like, affiliated with is Carl from...
Cody says his Carl's no good, too, yeah.
And I said I don't think I know a Carl.
Oh, you said you don't know. I thought you said I know a Carl.
Words and gave in our me, gave mouths
me,
now.
I
thought he said I know a Carl and then gave me, like, the shaking his head thing. Like,
if I ever meet a Carl and he's a shithead, I'm going to let you guys know.
Oh, yeah, do keep it. A tally.
I'm putting him on blast.
Yeah, do it, bro.
And if you are Carl and want to defend yourself, feel free to write in.
I'm just saying, you two... You have these weird prejudices against Canada and England and now randomly
we made
Carl.
Our peace with Canada.
Yeah, okay. Canada and I are fun.
And actually, we're starting to get listens in England.
What's wrong with England?
Nothing. They just killed Jimi Hendrix.
Thank
That's
you,
fucking cool.
Cody.
They killed Jimi Hendrix. Fuck them.
It started Flat Earth Theory.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Lobster backs.
And you're right. We Americans are so classy, and we never do anything wrong.
I'm fucking drinking Coors and eating fruit snacks.
All right, so I give
you... Wearing an American Furniture Warehouse shirt.
And hat.
It's as American as it gets.
American, yeah, Josh's America'd up right now.
Fuck literally America'd has up. A blue collar on.
Yeah,
yeah.
Blue-collar man.
Your blue collar is fucked. So this is a little quote from one of the first letters he sent Dr. Jessup. Not a doctor. Our invocation to the public that may they move en masse upon their representatives and have thusly enough pressure placed at the right in sufficient number of places where from the law demanding research into Albert Einstein's unified field theory may be enacted is not at all necessary. It may interest you to know that the good doctor was not so much influenced in his retraction of the work by mathematics as he most assuredly was by humantics.
That does not sound like someone...
This is Carlos Allende.
Fucking Carl.
That doesn't sound like someone trying to sell the point that they're Hispanic.
No, it sounds like someone trying too hard to be smart.
No, yeah, yeah. He's really tries hard to be smart. These letters are immensely long, and they sound like that. So there's this one little piece, if you couldn't follow it, he's basically saying the reason Albert Einstein discontinued his unified field theory, and you know Albert Einstein is a part of this. He supposedly worked on the Philadelphia experiment.
Greg is explaining that to me, everyone, because I haven't listened to the first episode yet. Sure. Sorry.
We're filling her in for last week. And he actually did work for the Navy at the time.
Einstein did?
Yes.
I did not know that. He was helping build
missiles and things like that. Mm. He had a theory called the Unified Field Theory, which he quit working on years before. And now they're trying to tie this all in. Like, he didn't really... It's not really unfinished. And
supposedly Nikola Tesla was there, too?
Yeah, supposedly Tesla was there, too, even though he was dead.
This is the same year. No, this is
the same year he did die. Yeah.
Okay.
So it just depends on... When was this? Like, November?
Yeah, November was the final test.
I don't remember when I looked it up.
But it's been going on all year.
Hey, Siri, when did Nikola Tesla die?
There you go.
So sorry if this is a little confusing. We're just catching Miranda up on a little
January 7th, 1943.
It's impossible. Yeah,
so he wasn't there. Died during
so basically the theory is he died and they tucked him away to have him working on these experiments.
Tesla, you're saying that they declared him dead, but secretly he was
Tesla
working
and Einstein were tag teaming
with Einstein on unified field theory, which is what?
Unified field theory, essentially there's four... I had this written in front of me last week when I explained it. Essentially, there's four different fields in physics. It focuses on two of them, one being gravitational, the other being electromagnetic. Unified field theory is trying to combine these two fields to cause...
Any two of the four.
Yeah, it could be towards any. In this case, they're applying... Or it could be all four.
A combo?
In this case, it's electromagnetic... force and gravitational force. They're trying to combine the two to either create invisibility or teleport, whatever their real master plan was.
But they were attempting to degauss the ship.
Yeah. The more realistic thing is they were trying to degauss the ship from mine.
Which means remove magnetism.
Magnetic, yeah. But in the crazy theory, what we're doing is using Einstein's unified field theory to make the ship invisible to the eye.
Okay.
And then it fucked up even more and accidentally teleported the ship.
Okay.
That's where we're at.
Some hype shit.
All right. This little quote from Carl saying how, you know, he didn't make it an incomplete theory because it was bad. He made it incomplete because the government stifled him and had him start working with them.
I kind of got the feeling from what you just read that he was also stating that maybe I misheard this, but I got the feeling he was stating that the general public... he said something about invoking their representatives. Like, we should start talking about this more.
Yes, yes.
The general public should publicly cry out for more information on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, fuck the government. Fucking lock your backs.
Carlos would go on to sign... He sends a series of letters to Dr. Jessup. Not a doctor. He signs each one, though, with his sailor ID, Z416175, which Dr. Jessup looks up and finds Carl Allen, Carl M. Allen, who is signing the letters Carlos M. Allende.
He's not very creative,
hold on, just to clarify,
he?
This Dr. Jessup guy.
Not a doctor.
Not a doctor. But is this, like, not a medical doctor, but has a PhD, or
no,
just
absolutely not a doctor.
So, like, Dr. Dre, just like... I am a doctor, bitch. Call
Who's
me doctor.
To me? Yeah, pretty much.
Fair
pretty
enough. Much. He's a gangster.
Much, yeah, he's a ufologist.
Right. He just walks in and he goes, call me doctor.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Like, if he was here now, he'd be the crazy-haired guy on the fucking...
He'd be like the dude on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Calling himself a doctor.
Cool.
So, and all that. Jessup took the letters very serious at first. God.
Sorry, our pit bull is making out with Josh's knee.
Jessup took the letters very serious, and he asked for more information, names, addresses, witnesses. Carlos really can't provide that stuff. His response, quote, "I can be of some positive help to you and myself, but to do so would require a hypnotist, sodium pentothal, a tape recorder, and an excellent typist secretary in order to produce material of real value to you."
So he's saying his memory was erased and he would need a hypnotist and sodium.
He goes on blah, to say blah, blah, all to... sorts of things. Okay. But that's just a little quote snippet from it. Because again, each one of these letters, it hurts your head to even try and get through.
Is that your Carlos Allende voice?
It's really was cute. I doing a voice?
Yeah, you kind of were.
It's like kind of like yelling.
That's it then.
It was really accentuated and.
He's, you know, Carlos Allende.
You had crazy eyes when you were reading it.
He's got to have crazy eyes, right?
There's no fucking way he does that. Who the fuck names himself Carlos Allende? Like that?
What would your Mexican name be if you made one up right now on the spot?
Juan.
Juan?
Yeah, or Jose. Or Josue.
Why?
Because it's close to Josh.
It means John and Joe, but it's not close to Josh.
Or like...
I always like Esteban.
Yeah, that is always your...
Hello, my name is Esteban.
Or like, what's that guy's name? What's Blue Beetle's name in the newer, like, incarnation?
Don't know.
Fuck. I'll think about it again. In a second.
Cody?
Cody, Mexican name?
Did or you Spanish, have one in high
Spanish,
school?
Spanish yeah. name?
Spanish did Cody? I have one in...
Or what would it be? And if you don't know, did you have one in high school?
Did I have a Spanish name in high school? No. Because I'm white.
Well, everyone that takes Spanish class has to get a Spanish name while they're in Spanish class.
I didn't take Spanish.
I did not have a Spanish name while I was...
Pretty sure mine was Josue.
But I guess mine if I had to choose one, it would be Rico.
Rico!
Sure.
Rico.
Oh, Suave?
No, Suave.
No, Suave. No, Suave.
Mine
no, Suave.
Would be Jaime.
Jaime.
Yeah.
Jaime. All right. Good to know, everybody. Good to know.
No. Josh is like a Yair.
A
Yair
what?
A Yair.
Yair?
Yep.
What does that mean? Like Yeti?
No, that's just like a
Spanish name. Yeah, you're here. Yeah, you're over there.
Yeah, you're on your way. Yeah, you're here. Yeah, you're there.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg makes this up on the spot. He did not have that stored somewhere.
No, Greg's like Rodney like Dangerfield. He's a one-line king.
Professional dad-jokeologist.
Dad-jokeologist.
Yeah, if they can make up doctor shit, I can make up names too. letters begin to go as far as hinting towards the fact that Carlos himself might even be an alien living in a human body.
Whoa. Ooh,
and that he was personally schooled in physics by Albert Einstein himself.
No.
Quote, Einstein came to me and trained me in the theory of invisibility.
No.
He said they were using the Navy for his own research.
This man sounds like he needs
Einstein couldn't even pass high school because his brain is just too crazy, and you're going to say that he taught a person how to do something? No way.
Yeah.
I don't think that guy was much of a teacher. I think that guy was just this is what I know, and you need to figure it out, and if you can't, then just get the hell out of here.
That's a cool observation. I never would have thought of it that way.
That's cool.
Plus,
didn't graduate high school or anything like
but
that.
But you're right. Yeah. Like, what's to guarantee that just because Einstein was a genius, that he was a good teacher?
Yeah. But how do you teach someone something that you... Like, these thoughts that you have in your brain that are so out there to begin
You're
with.
Struggling to comprehend yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You're trying to explain black holes in the way that, like, a black hole will transport someone back in time to a person who's, like, trying to figure out how to just do basic algebra. They're like, oh, never mind. Get out of here.
Just a little bit I looked at trying to get a small understanding of things it's ridiculous.
When you go into quantum physics and you see someone write a formula and you go,
well, I'm a dumbass.
I'm a lower spectrum of human being, all right? That's cool.
Did you go into that? Do you have personal experience?
No, not personal. I have seen, like, huge quantum physics. You know, I've definitely, like, looked on the internet to see what the theories look like when they're all written out, but obviously you're just looking at a bunch of crazy just...
Did you do that for this episode, or is that something you're interested in on your own?
No, that's just something, like, in a past time that I have just...
He's probably really stoned.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you hear about, like, the E equals MC squared and stuff, I am not just like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, well, what is that all about? And then you start looking at it, and you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
See, never mind.
Quantum physics, like me and my homie, like when I used to smoke weed. Remember that. All right.
Weed talks, once you get into quantum physics and you start looking at shit on the internet, that's when you're like, oh man, this is like way more than anyone can ever even understand or realize.
Especially to a sober person, like they don't make any sense. But like we talk about like space a lot and like quantum physics and shit. So like I understand it.
When
on, like,
you're
a,
high? When you were high?
If, when I used to smoke weed. I mean, I still understand it when I'm sober, but like...
If space is real.
Hey, don't space you fucking dare. Space Force.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Oh, man.
That's what Carlos Allende is hinting towards. He's trying to create this whole time. You'll see, actually. But, you know, it didn't take long for Dr. Jessup, not a doctor, to decide that Carl Allen...
Do you have that written every time?
No. I just decided to start doing that. It didn't take him long to decide that Carlos Allende was a rambling lunatic who was just making things up. Jessup discontinued contact with Carl Allen and thought that would be the end of it.
That was a lot of S's in a row. All right,
it's tough.
Jessup discontinued.
The little lip thing you did too was pretty cute.
It's not easy being cheesy.
Especially since I just rhymed. Get the fuck out of here, Drake. It's not easy being cheesy.
Get out of your own house. Not welcome here anymore.
Wah, wah, wah.
Okay, say it one more time.
Jessup discontinued what?
Jessup discontinued contact with Carl Allen.
Oh, good.
And thought that would be the end of it.
Oh, fuck.
Jump forward a couple months to the Office of Naval Research, where Lieutenant Commander George Hoover and Captain Sidney Shervey would receive a package with no return address and simply said Happy Easter on it.
The Hoover and Shervey?
Yeah, the. Now, first of all, I get a package, says nothing on it but Happy Easter. I'm not opening that shit.
Especially if you're not a general in the military.
Yeah, I mean, especially if I am, like... Unless there's like bomb sniffing dogs, it's gone.
That's
through,
what I'm saying. Or, if you're any rank in the military like that, and someone sends you that, you're like, all right, well, let's get that out of here.
Send it to the privates.
I can't resist. Even if I get phone number or calls from like random phone numbers, I have to answer. I want to know.
I do
who
not.
You are. Oh, what is this about?
Nope. F you. Leave a message.
If you don't leave a message, you better not call here again.
Yeah, do not call here.
You better
again.
Not call here again because you will get ignored every time. Like, I recognize this number.
Dude, someone fucking called me today and I answered, and then they didn't say anything.
No, I have not stayed at one of your resorts in the last year. Leave me alone.
Fuck no. Probably.
That'd be cool.
Nah, I mean,
you're a guy. You don't want a stalker if you're a guy. That's
what?
That's terrible.
Oh yeah, girls.
Think about it, man.
Girls
if
are
you're
way
a
crazier.
Girl, you could even like have a not completely crazy person stalk you just because they're just a little weird. If you're a dude and you have someone stalking you, you have to think that's a complete psycho.
And just in general,
unless
like
you're like you know,
Miranda's
a celebrity.
Really into like serial killers and stuff, and I got her a book on female serial killers. She couldn't even finish it.
Well, female serial killers, most women aren't. Killing or stalking for sexual pleasure. They're probably going to come after you for your money. So if you don't have any, you're good.
Trust me, I don't have any money. All
right. Next time you get that phone call, just tell them,
I don't have any money. Fuck off.
Tell you what, lady, Steve's the one out doing business deals right
now.
Yeah,
you stalk Steve. You're welcome, Steve.
Bubba.
Yep. He's
Oh, Eden. Hi, Bubbas.
All right, so jump forward a couple. Oh, I already said that one.
No.
The package.
Our cat just ran away from Josh. Now he's sad.
No.
The package contained an annotated version of Dr. Jessup's book. All over the book were three different colors of ink, hinting towards three different people writing the book. So annotated, in case you don't know what that means, basically he took Dr. Jessup's book, and they wrote all over the sides, all over it, crossed things out, made corrections, pointed things out, all throughout the whole book, in three different inks, seemingly in three different styles.
Ooh.
So,
kind of
wondering what's going on with that. So, Jessup...
Calligrapher. Calligrapher.
No, calligrapher does fancy writing.
Yeah, that means they can do any type of writing.
Well, anyone can do any type of writing.
This doesn't have anything to do with calligraphy.
I can do Josh writing, and that's about it.
Shut up, Josh. Damn it. Dr. Jessup, not a doctor, would be invited to the Naval Research Center, where he would be shown an annotated copy of his book. Within moments, Dr. Jessup, not a doctor, would recognize the erratic and crazy scribblings of a one Carlos M. Allende.
Hold on. You're Dr. Jessup. What is your opinion? Not a doctor. What is your opinion?
Thank you, Cody.
Of no this person.
Of Dr. Jessup?
No, not what is your opinion of this person who's sending you letters of Carlos Allende? What do you think of this guy?
He's a psychopath, and I should be burning these, but he's also a psychopath because he calls himself a doctor, so therefore he is like, oh, this is the shit.
It's like the Joker trying to find the Joker.
It's like two crazy though? People finding each other. They're like, ugh.
I want to think more about I want to think more about the day Dr. Jessup, not a doctor,
Eureka!
Is actually having at the moment, okay? He's put Carlos Allende out of his mind. He just thought that was a crazy guy who wrote him, and he cut ties with him. Now, the Naval Research Office just called him, and he's like, shit, you know, it's about my book. Like, I'm about to do
I didn't
some,
think of
I'm
that.
I'm about to do some UFO research.
They're
with
taking
the Navy.
Me seriously?
Yeah.
Like, it's just Carlos again.
And, yeah, he's coming in excited, and they hand him this book. And he's like, yeah, that's my book. And he opens it, and now it's got this scribbling that is just way too familiar.
Fucking Carl.
Your heart's just got to sink. Like, God.
God damn it. You ever seen that meme or, like, that video of The Walking Dead? He's like, Carl, and he's like, it's like Rick talking to
I don't
his
know
son.
The Walking Dead.
Fuck, god damn it!
You can finish telling us, though. I want to know.
No, someone will get it. It's just really funny. Up. I'm gonna see if I can find it because it's hilarious.
So yeah, he would recognize the crazy scribblings of Carlos Allende, some of which referring to an invisibility experiment in 1943. The rest of the scribblings are mostly referring to the UFO book itself, but. They're actually talking about, like, how flying saucers fly, like, you know, how they're propelled and all this stuff. Mm. And, again, the writing is written as if from somebody not of this world.
So this has some clout? Is that what you're saying?
It's, at the time, seemingly, yes.
There's at least something to look further into.
At the time, the math and the theories in it look so good, like it's worth checking out. You know, he's really breaking down like interstellar flight and all this kind of stuff that like, we have no clue about at this time. We haven't even put a man on the moon yet. So yeah, they called in Jessup to see what the hell was going on, and that's the writing that was going in there.
That's still something to be proud of.
Oh, Carlos is very proud of it.
No, Jessup, not a doctor.
So actually, yeah, the Navy would actually hire on Dr. Jessup, not a doctor, as part of their research team. They would print out copies of the annotated version of his book, which became known as the Vero edition.
Are there images of the annotated book online?
No.
Damn.
It never got mass produced. This is a rare thing to have. It's like having the first Superman book comic. But in the UFO world. but it wouldn't be long before the Navy would cut Jessup loose, determining that he had no real information of value to bring to the team. Sad.
What a shame.
Mm-hmm. Sad Jessup.
Well, he's not a doctor, so.
Not a doctor. Should have been a doctor.
Yeah.
Just a jackass.
Yeah, just.
Harsh.
But some sources believe he may have been let go because he was becoming more and more interested in the Philadelphia experiment, thinking it was more and more plausible.
Ooh. Makes sense, 100%.
Because in July or August of 1958...
July or August?
Yes.
The summer of...
Don't put us down to labels, okay?
All right, man.
So we're talking like...
We're talking
Christmas summer. To
no.
New Year's.
Just
no, July or August.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Just summer. Summer of 58. Jessup turned over his collection of information on the Philadelphia experiment to writer/researcher Ivan T. Sanderson. He left it to him for safekeeping for, quote, in case anything should happen to me. This edition would include his own personal notes and his own annotated copy of the Vero edition. So this is an annotated version of his own annotated version.
Of his own writing.
Of his own writing.
Cool.
Wow.
Okay.
That's hype.
That's some crazy... Like, where was there room to write on there?
He used the hot pink pen this
There's
time.
There's like three of the exact same lines, and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Something that got crossed out, and then Carlos wrote about it, so he crosses out what
Why
Carlos
there notes
wrote.
On this shit?
He fixes it real quick. Like, yeah. This is what I say.
It's like when you go to a bathroom stall and it was like Mike was here. Mike was gay. I'm not gay.
It's like when you're like...
Is that what you're in the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember when you're like doing writing exams when you're... And then the students grade them?
Yeah.
And then someone would like cross something out like, no, it's not like this, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God, you don't understand proper grammar.
Yeah, you don't get it at all. Why are you grading grammar. This?
Then you're like... What do you mean this is a run-on sentence? There's a comma. What the?
There's a comma. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of guy that uses two commas sometimes, and I'm just like, I don't know if this is right.
One time someone crossed out.
Is two commas ever right?
One of my sometimes.
In a row?
No. Not in a row.
It's like,
no.
You need
no.
a semicolon or something. Oh, in a sentence.
In a sentence.
That's oh. right. Depending that's on the fine. Structure of the sentence. Yeah.
So I was like, I think if you need a two comma, that's like a semicolon situation or something.
That's true.
Anyways. All right, now out of back to the story.
Back to the story.
We suck at this.
So this is when the conspiracy really heats up.
Ooh.
All right. In April, just April.
All right, cool.
Of 1959, Dr. Jessup, not a doctor, would make plans with his friend Dr. J. Manson Valentine.
J. Manson Valentine. That is
yes,
quite
a doctor.
A name. Yes, a doctor.
Yeah.
To meet for dinner and discuss his new breakthrough information Dr. on the Valentine. Philadelphia experiment.
Sketch.
Now, Dr. Valentine, he's like an oceanographer doctor, though.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
But it's his homie. It's just like his homie he's confiding in. Like, this okay. is his buddy he's confiding in. And he basically calls up his friend and he's like, yo, I did it. I broke this shit. Like, it's going to get real. Let's talk about how to handle this next.
Okay. Yeah.
So they make plans for dinner.
You know, he's thinking like, dude, you're not even a fucking doctor.
He's like, yeah, as soon as you quit calling yourself doctor.
Yeah, if you could just call yourself like...
I didn't...
Call yourself sir if you want to.
I didn't go to oceanographer school for 6 years, so you can call yourself doctor.
I'm studying fucking dolphins for you to call yourself doctor. You know what the seafloor looks like? Yeah, me neither.
There you go.
Unfortunately...
Ooh.
This would be a dinner. Dr. Morris K. Jessup, not a doctor, would not make it to.
Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
Bum, bum, bum.
The afternoon of that dinner, he was found at a park.
Some popped him.
Dead in his car.
Oh man.
Whoa.
With a hose running from his exhaust to the inside of the car.
Oh my God.
Now... There's a
in
book.
A park?
In a park.
There's a book
Dark.
I told you about last
Dark
week
park.
Called The Philadelphia Experiment Project Invisibility, which I referred to as kind of the Bible of this situation at this point.
Okay.
All right.
Again, everyone, Greg is explaining this to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
also a recap.
And anyone who didn't listen last week.
I had forgotten or
yeah.
wasn't paying attention
yeah.
long enough.
Anyone who rolled the dice and said, I'll start at part two, fine. So according to the book... He was seen with his briefcase, manuscripts, and all of that morning, leaving. When found in his car, no manuscripts, no briefcase ever found, and no autopsy was ever done on Dr. Morris K. Jessup.
That's
not
a doctor.
A doctor.
Yeah. That's weird. Okay, because I was just about to say, like, what are the odds that he, like, killed himself to make his story more valid? You know what I mean? Like...
But
they didn't find the manuscript, so that's what I'm saying. It's like,
and no autopsy.
Yeah, yeah, that's fucked up.
That seems a bit much.
Also, according to the book, the hose used was not...
To kill yourself, though, to make your story more valid? That in the 50s? I don't know that would have convinced anyone that you were
a I feel like from
mind,
what I hear, he was too
mind.
Excited about, you know, blowing this wide open.
No, I'm sure he was...
Well, that's what I'm saying, but, like, I feel like at this point people knew that he was trying to blow it wide open.
I don't think people did,
I guess
though.
I never considered to be an option. To me, the only option was he actually did commit suicide because he was going crazy and this was so overwhelming for him. Or, as it seems you're leading me to, or the government killed him and made it look like suicide. I don't think I ever considered suicide as an amplifier?
Yeah, like that's just as another form what of it sounds like martyrdom in a way.
Yeah, if you're going the martyr route there, what it sounds like to me is only Dr. J. Manson Valentine knew about this. So
okay, yeah, and that makes sense. So
yeah, and again, Dr. Morris K. Jessup, not a doctor, isn't really like a publicly like renowned guy at this point. Like I said, he got blacklisted a long time ago, and he actually is kind of like
he's pretty silly.
Could be down on his dumps a little bit.
So,
but also according to the book, the hose used to commit suicide, it was no ordinary garden hose. It was 2 inches in diameter and exactly 5 feet in length.
Is it an alien hose?
More like a probing government hose. Assassin hose.
Oh. Yeah.
A probing hose? What the fuck are you into?
So I...
Aliens.
I copy and pasted some questions that the book brings to light. Okay. One, the hose was wired to the exhaust pipe, not simply stuffed in. That could be good work from an assassin. That could be thorough work from a guy trying to commit suicide. You don't want to fuck up your suicide.
Okay, well, but before we go there,
that's a lot of time.
Well, I don't know, maybe, because did the assassin wire it to his exhaust before or after he was in the car?
We don't know that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
we just know it was wired to the exhaust pipe.
But put your Batman cowl on and think about it. That's what I'm saying.
He could have been dead before he got in the car.
Well, somebody has to make this look like a suicide, you'd have to assume he was held at gunpoint to stay in his car or something along those lines, right?
Sure. Well, I know an autopsy wasn't done, but he could have easily
been strangled.
Or drugged, is what I was thinking.
He could have been drugged, strangled, shot, stabbed. Again, if there's no autopsy, any of it could have happened, and you're just left to...
I feel like wiring the hose to the exhaust is circumstantial. Like, in a court of law, that doesn't prove anything either
way.
That's just an added detail.
There were cloths and rags stuffed into the back window, and they were wet, so no air, just to make a better airtight seal. But there was
not a doctor. He could have known.
But there were no obvious sources of water found to wet the rags at the scene.
Oh. Mm.
So this isn't today where everybody's got water bottles and things like that.
Yeah, no water bottles in the 40s.
50s, right? We're in 58?
50s. We're in the 50s now. Yeah.
58, right? Or 59?
Wow, this is 59.
You got no hydro flasks.
The only bottles you're getting is, like, glass. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, his briefcase seen with him that morning was nowhere to be found. He was pronounced DOA by Dr. Harry Reed, who said he lived in the neighborhood and just happened to be on the scene. I'm air quoting with my fingers if you guys can't see that, because you can't.
You look like you're playing piano.
You definitely can.
His wife refused to identify the body, stating that she was so certain that her husband would not have committed suicide. His body was later identified by a Leon A. Schul, claiming to be a friend of the family. No one interviewed the family or otherwise has ever heard of Leon.
Wait, is that just stating that no one really confirmed that with the family?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, again, this is all from the book. No published obituaries were found about Jessup's death, not from his local hometown paper or any other source.
Well, obituaries cost money. I mean, sometimes it's not something you want to deal with.
So those are just a few of the...
especially if you're not a doctor, you ain't got no money.
Circumstantial!
Yeah. A lot of circumstantial evidence there.
I don't know, man.
I mean, besides his wife's testimony that he really wasn't in a state of mind to...
Yeah, but that's what they all say.
Nope.
Like, if I killed myself tomorrow, my mom would be like, I never thought he'd do it. Like, that'd just be the thing that happened to anyone's house, in my opinion. All I'm saying is that fucking wiring to his... That's weird.
Yeah.
Because, like...
If alleged wiring to...
Yeah, if it actually happened. Because it's, like, either, like I said before, he did commit suicide to make himself seem more valid. No, maybe not in any immediate time, but, like, we're obviously talking about it now, fucking 60 years in the future.
I don't think that's what happened.
Gummy me.
I'll go. Here you go. So 6 years in the future, we're talking about it right now, and it's interesting. You know, it's keeping me in suspense. Yeah, just eat it, bro.
But we're not talking about it because this man killed himself. We're talking about it because the Philadelphia experiment in general is a crazy concept.
But that he was thoroughly involved in.
I don't think he murdered himself.
Just had the breakthrough to prove it.
Yeah, and then none of his records were found. So it seems more like a government thing, if anything, than a suicide.
You like it, so. It
seems like he got
So are you saying we're leaning from last week, saying this is crazy and couldn't have happened to...
It could have happened,
bro. Was that your opinion last week?
I kind of set the precedent last week as to this is nonsense and it definitely didn't happen.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
I really set that precedent.
You did say that.
I still believe it. That is my opinion. But if you have your own opinion...
Because it's just like, you know, it's weird to think, like, I mean, and this is a topic I want to discuss later on the podcast, is the whole topic of CERN. I want to do some deep research on that because it's pretty interesting.
Of what?
CERN. We talked about last week. Go ahead and explain
it. So CERN is this company, I think, in Sweden.
S-E-R-N?
C-E-R-N.
Okay.
And so apparently they've been kind of tapping into, like, interdimensional type of shit and, like, you know, using, like, dark matter and stuff like that. And so they're allegedly the cause...
Where'd they get this dark matter?
Huh?
Where'd they get the dark matter from there?
I have no fucking clue. Right. I'll have to find out my research. But, allegedly, they are the reason that the Mandela Effect... Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Okay, well, allegedly the reason the Mandela Effect is a thing. And the Mandela Effect is basically when Nelson Mandela went into prison and everyone believed he died, especially people in South Africa, he came out years later and was alive.
Mm-hmm.
And like, what the fuck just happened? So, it's essentially...
I didn't know that part of the story.
They thought that he... died in prison,
mm-hmm.
while a bunch of people know that he passed away. Five or six years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of brush past this really fast because we did discuss this like for a while last week.
A little bit, yeah.
But basically, there's different things like they're kind of saying this company traveled or fucked with the time continuum.
Kind of like
the
butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Like the butterfly effect. They so you know things them. Like where they say. Everybody thinks Darth Vader said, Luke, I am your father, but really he said,
No, I am your father. Yeah.
And the Nelson Mandela thing.
And everyone thinks that the Bernstein bears. Bernstein bears, because that's what it really was.
Yeah, the Bernstein. Bernstein bears.
What does this have to do with this?
I got you. So what it is they basically have been dabbling and going back in time and changing tiny little things to see how it plays out in present time.
Yeah.
And so that causes ripple effects to see, you know, people remember, yeah. like, there's a kind of split on the sense of, like, this is what actually happened and this is what we're told now. So, okay. like, Nelson Mandela dying in prison, even though he didn't, and he came out and became, like, the fucking president, right, or something.
So, in theory, he actually did die in prison, but they went back, changed that.
Changed
that's
it.
That's the theory.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the theory is that that's why the general public is split on what
exactly
on the details
happened.
Of what actually happened.
Yeah. And so...
Well, that and somehow that has rippled into
that
separate things like
movies
that...
to change.
That
you know,
super...
Movie lines to change
certain... movie lines to be different and people said that they swear the stupid Shazam movie the fucking Bernstein Bear thing
okay
and like even to go even deeper they even say this is one I saw it was really weird and this is what I think would be a good one
I definitely want to do a whole episode on this
so I'll touch on it lightly but basically they said when in 2012 remember the whole Mayan calendar thing they basically said that CERN was kind of in race to like kind of beat the 2012 calendar and take us to another dimension that, like, saved us from dying in 2012.
That's crazy.
Mm. Oh, my God. I was so into the Mayan calendar, too.
So, like, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, that was my...
That's interesting. And you're saying that you're interested in the CERN company right now because they could have theoretically taken all of this knowledge from research done with the Philadelphia experiment?
Maybe not. No, I'm not saying that, per se. But just, like, just weird things like this that happen. Like,
we had gotten into a whole time travel discussion
that
this week.
Maybe
you're
going
to have to catch
up.
You're going to have to catch yourself.
Sorry, guys.
It's all
just
good.
Just maybe that as weird as all of this is, it's actually taking place in our lives.
Could be.
It's totally possible.
People are really doing
research.
Just
that, like, you know, dark matter, time
travel,
you know, like, wormholes, all that type of shit can
be possible. Supposedly, from what I've heard, the only way to get dark matter is from a black hole, so that's why I'm like, where the fuck did they get this dark matter?
But we have sent satellites to a black hole, at least one.
True, but where the hell did it get back from, you know what I mean?
You never know, the black hole.
Synthetic dark matter would be the only thing I could think of.
You synthetically make dark matter. This is crazy.
If I knew, I would do it.
All right,
there's that one company that's trying to make atoms collide so yeah, they the can hydrogen split
collider.
Them.
Hydrogen
yeah.
collider.
That shit is fucking
what
crazy.
If, stuff. Theoretically, what if well, that
that's
could,
what they use.
We are 100% Rick and Morty right now, bro.
So I'm pretty sure that's
I
what
feel
CERN
so uneducated.
Used is a hydrogen collider, and that's how they kind of started doing all this shit. But we'll get into it later.
Okay.
Nice cliffhanger right there.
Time.
All right. Bam. All right. There you go.
So, I want you guys to remember the book I've been talking about wasn't released till the 80s.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, and it was all the recounts of, like, one guy, right?
Double
that was originally,
annotated.
But the book, the Philadelphia, the book that I just quoted all that stuff from, that came from the 80s. Just
written by who?
William Moore and somebody else. I get back into that book later on when it hits the actual timeline we're rolling down.
Okay.
That's just kind of why I wanted to point that out, because it's ahead of the timeline that we're going down right now. We're still 1959. Dr. Morris K. Jessup, not a doctor, has either committed suicide or been assassinated in his car.
The morning of
the morning
dinner
of
he was supposed to have with a trusted, respected colleague
yes.
to discuss how to go further with this.
Absolutely.
No, to discuss how
Absolutely.
To let everybody in the world know about
yeah.
this.
Well, yeah.
And, Dr. J. Manson Ballantyne does make this public, and, over the next, 10 years or so, lots of pamphlets and books are being made. The Carlos Allende letters are being circulated and published. Lots of people are making money.
Is this the first conspiracy theory?
This is where it's really bubbling right now, yeah.
You got the first worldwide conspiracy theory.
Oh, not the first ever. No,
no,
no. No.
We need to touch on the first.
Touch
letter.
To
that would be a good
beginning
one.
Of UFOs, right?
Yeah. This does kind of ignite the UFO spark and craze.
This has to be one of the first ones.
No, even in the French Revolution, yeah. there were conspiracies that the government was storing bread and wheat away.
I'd have to say, yeah.
Conspiracy theories are as old as time.
Lots of whack ass conspiracies.
Yeah, this is the first juicy one.
Yeah. First one where they're like disappearing ships and shit.
Yeah.
So, over the next 10 years, books, pamphlets are being circulated with the Carlos Allende letters. Lots of people making money off Carlos Allende, except for one person.
Carlos Allende.
Carlos Allende,
that
right?
Mm-hmm. And he deserves it.
Yeah, and you know what? You know,
he's not making any money.
He does what your typical, hating kind of person would do. He walks straight into the Air Force Research Center with his own copy of the Vero edition and his sailor's papers, because I told you he signed everything with those numbers,
yep.
to prove his identity. He would go on to tell them that it was all just a hoax and one of the greatest stories he ever told.
What a piece of shit.
He chose to go to the military about this instead of going to a publisher or...
Yes, because he's a crazy person still.
He sounds stupid.
Carl Ellen, on his by his own family, is a known BSer, storyteller.
A known BSer.
Yeah, just known for making up stories. He's been sitting and annotating books his whole life. This isn't the first time he's done this. Basically, this is just the first time.
It caught on.
Any people were like, this
is
legit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you wonder which other authors he was screwing with?
The guy who created Scientology?
Tom Cruise?
Not Tom Cruise. But
L. Ron Hubbard?
Yeah, a dude who's written more fiction, more science fiction than any other author ever combined.
Yeah.
Was he writing in 59?
I don't know about all
I'm
that.
I'm not sure.
Probably, I don't even think he was alive. He was probably born around that time.
I don't know.
Actually, no. Because then he's been dead for a while. I don't even know. Scientology's bullshit.
I gotta pee. Talk
I'm
to
sorry if you're a Scientologist, but it's bullshit.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Help me, Tom Cruise.
Use your witchcraft to put out the flames.
Don't put that evil on me.
Yeah, don't you put that on me, Ricky Bobby. Yeah, that was a great movie.
That's a Will Ferrell classic.
100%. I think it is my favorite Will Ferrell movie of all time.
No, that's not your food. Hey,
yeah,
get out of here.
I'm going to say that... And then number two for me would probably be Anchorman 1, not 2. 2 is bullshit. You should burn it. That should be all gone. And then the other guys.
The other guys. I would say...
I did my first despot!
Yeah. I would say...
And he is no such thing as a despot.
Talladega Nights. Step Brothers.
Talking Will Ferrell movies?
Oh, no.
And
you,
then the other
you're
guys.
Right,
Step
you're
Brothers.
Right. Step Brothers is a solid number
Step
two.
Brothers
is
good. Hey, nobody... I'm a little bit older... So, old school actually changed the face of comedy when it came out. Like
Hank
movies,
the Tank?
Movies weren't quite as raunchy before Old School came out. Old School really lifted the bar.
I will attest to that because I remember when it came out, my parents were like, oh, a comedy. Let's go see it together. And my parents took me to see it.
Super Catholic parents.
I will say they also thought Good Luck Chuck was just a comedy, and they watched that with my grandparents accidentally.
Nice.
They're just good at that.
Hell yeah.
I did not realize that, like, I think, how old was I when Good Luck Chuck came out? Couldn't even tell you. I think I was probably like in the 8th grade.
Never even seen it.
How old are you?
I'm 24. Okay. I think I was in the 8th grade. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. But that is literally like a porno.
Oh, yeah.
That is literally
That's the Dane Cook one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dane Cook is, I'm pretty sure, legitimately smashing all those girls.
And he enjoyed his time at the top.
Oh, hell yeah.
I miss
As
him.
It plummeted down to the bottom.
Yeah, I always liked Dane Cook.
Oh, Dane Cook is good people, but now...
Waiting...
Come back,
his,
Dane Cook.
His small part waiting is, welcome to Thunderdome, bitch.
Dude, Ryan Reynolds
with all the piercings.
Too.
Yeah, waiting is just
Andy Milonakis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never got into him. I found him kind of annoying.
Andy Milonakis was annoying, but...
Which one does he play in Waiting?
He was one of the fat busboy kids. Raps and stuff.
Oh!
He got a whole, like, career on MTV afterwards.
Yeah, he had
annoying.
An Andy Milonakis show. I swear to God, I thought he was, like, a 13-year-old kid, and I was like, how's this kid on a TV show? Find out he's, like, 29.
Yeah. He looked like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, and he's, like, 29 when that show came out.
He's got to be, like, 40 or something.
He's pushing 45 somehow.
Does he still look 13?
Yes. Wow. But he still is, like, I mean, he's like, stupid funny. He would do jokes. Did you ever watch The Dad Show? Uh-huh. Or not The Dad Show, The Man Cave?
No.
I don't know why I got the... Okay, well, it was like whoever does the Tonight Show now, not Jimmy Fallon, the other Tonight Show.
Kimmel? You mean The Man Show?
The Man Show.
He was on The Man Show?
Yes, remember he played...
He was the fat kid that, like, did stuff?
Not that one.
Oh.
That one, remember the one who, like, fake sold beer? Remember the one who actually went to the bar and was getting shit-faced?
Yeah.
That's Andy Milonakis. Because
he looked like
yes.
it. Was, oh, that's fucking hilarious.
And he was, like, squaring up with the cop?
Yeah.
What's up, boy? Where are you from?
That's hilarious. That's pretty cool. Respect for that.
Yeah.
Man Show is awesome. All right, so after
speaking of,
what?
I love your segue.
Your segue. Speaking of.
Speaking of Andy Milonakis.
I don't think I've segued once this time.
No, you did. You did.
Did I? That was a
once.
Natural.
Do it again.
One,
come on.
It was just once.
Oh, you guys have to give me something. You have to talk to it.
Speaking of being in this room to talk about this episode.
So speaking of fizzling out, after Carlos Allende called it a hoax, things did calm down for a bit, but not too long, because in 1979, William Moore and Charles Berlitz would publish the Philadelphia Experiment, Project Invisibility. That is the book I was quoting from, and you know what? Carlos went ahead and recanted his previous statement and said, it wasn't a hoax.
What?
I didn't make the whole thing up. This shit's real.
Hell yeah.
That's someone who should martyr themselves to give themselves more credibility.
But that's true.
That's a situation.
The UFO community is so gung-ho for just anything they have to grasp onto and hold on to.
Because this is right about the time in the 50s when, like... You know, all those the very first comic books were coming out of, you know, journeys from space and, you know, man from Mars and all that shit. So people are loving it.
But now this book has been released and we're in the 80s. Is that what you said?
1979, the book's released.
Oh, 79.
Yeah. Oh, we are way
up
there.
Yeah, we've jumped
up
now. Because I said things did cool down after you called it a hoax.
So.
But the whole nation is crazy now. So
now cocaine's coming out.
Oh,
and the Philadelphia Experiment book is coming out.
So much progress in such a little time.
All right, so Carlos Allende recants his statement, says, yeah, this shit is real fucking deal. And over the next few years, he would do interviews and soak up whatever publicity he could.
Did he get, like, a legit interview? Good Morning America.
Well, he always kept himself kind of a little anonymous. You know, nobody's ever really seen him still. He does phone interviews and things like that.
Really?
He always keeps his address changing.
He's alive?
He moves around. Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Not anymore. But he kept his anonymity pretty well. you know, kept it, he liked to keep a mystique about himself.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of drove the story a little bit better.
Well, because I mean, you have to if you're fucking named Carl. Just saying.
Exactly, and if you actually see him,
yeah, you'll forget about the equivalent.
Yeah,
Carl.
Yeah.
Guys.
So
if I ever met a Carl, trust me, I forgot about him.
Yep, there you go.
Or that, or he stole from me. So fuck you, Carl.
Oh, I just said
fucking Carl.
No, I'm just kidding. If there's any good Carls out there, we appreciate
you. We love you, Carl, if you're a nice guy.
But if you're a dickhead, Carl, just fuck so you know, Carl. You're a dickhead.
You Carl. Fucking asshole, Carl.
I actually found that video. Or a video. That.
Oh, no.
Fuck. Sorry, that was an ad. We don't do ads here.
No.
Except for Coors, apparently.
But speaking of videos, in 1984, the release of the Philadelphia Experiment movie sparked yet another resurgence in the conspiracy.
There's a movie about this?
Why haven't we watched it?
There's like three, I think, right? There's like two or three?
Yeah, there's a sequel.
Did you check their ratings on IMDb?
It's like a three something.
Rotten Tomatoes?
It's all around.
It's all around.
All around enough.
Nice.
So it sparked another resurgence in the conspiracy world, and actually would shed light on a couple new members of the Philadelphia Experiment. And we'll get into those guys in just a little bit.
Word.
This also gave Carlos Allende one last chance in the spotlight, where he would give his final deathbed statement from a Colorado retirement home right here in Greeley, Colorado.
Wow. I just got a fucking speeding ticket in Greeley.
Immediately disqualified. Greeley, Colorado. I don't believe you.
He doesn't know better. He's not from here.
Sorry, don't believe you.
All right, so... She's not wrong.
There's nothing I like about Greeley.
Like I said, a cop from there just gave me a speeding ticket the other day. So
right there.
Fuck you, Greeley.
No, I didn't say that.
Unless you listen to our fuck show, you're cool. Move out of Greeley, though.
I'm just not a
unless
fan.
Unless you
of
go
Greeley.
To college there when you graduate.
Get out
remember,
of Greeley.
Get the hell out of Greeley.
Get out of Greeley.
And those like of shit. You who are just chilling in Greeley, what the fuck are you doing chilling in Greeley?
I don't get it. All
right, so
just move to Fort Collins, all right?
Exactly. And actually, don't
or
do
Longmont or anywhere else. Just get out of there.
I really like Fort Collins. Please don't move there.
Don't hate on Fort Collins.
No, I love Fort Collins. That's what I'm
saying.
He's saying
he has a bunch of people moving there.
What if it's the good ones?
Well, the good
the
ones.
The bad ones are going to stay no matter what.
That's true.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, people.
Was he from Colorado? How did he find his way to Greeley?
Supposedly, it's a city he's always loved. Comes in and out of. He's from a farm.
Yeah, that's
originally.
How you know he's fucking crazy.
He says he likes the farm.
What does my face
there.
Look like
he says
right
it's
now?
Good, honest people of the earth.
Disappointed.
He could have said,
disapproving.
Like, oh, I love Boulder. And I would have been like, eh. Yeah. Good, yeah, a lot of people love Boulder.
Yeah, whatever.
Not for me, but good for you.
Yeah.
Could
anyways.
Like, oh, I love.
Speaking of loving Boulder, what do we got, Greg?
Speaking of loving Boulder, I went to a concert one time there.
Nice.
At the Boulder
based
Theater.
Out of Boulder. That's pretty cool.
Okay. I saw, I can't remember, Beats Antique there. I was tripping balls. It was fantastic. It was a great, great show. I don't actually listen to that band. I saw them open for Primus once, also tripping balls. And I just thought they were, like, they put on a really good show, and I wanted to see what they could do if they were the headliner.
They're like a live music video.
Yeah.
It's
and,
incredible.
I saw them headline at Red Rocks, and I saw them headline at the Boulder Theater. Other than that, I've never listened to them, and their show has been amazing every time. Tripping balls every time, though. So just recommend them. If you're going to do Three Hits of Acid, go watch Speed's Antique.
Hey, I wasn't high on anything, and I still enjoyed them.
You were smoking joints there.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not a regular joint smoker, so.
That's true. They were good either way.
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, yeah.
They were great. Speaking of days, August 22nd, 1986, the Greeley newspaper would print Carlos Allende's final death statements. I've got a few snippets I cut out here for you guys.
Snippets.
Yeah. quote, the Philadelphia experiment worked. Excuse you, Miranda. That was disgusting. Wow.
You're such a liar.
Wow.
You know mine are greater
little
than
cute
that.
Girl. Big burp sound. the Philadelphia experiment worked. That was the frightened military. They didn't know what Einstein was doing. He used them to accomplish his own research and propulsion. He believed we could travel faster than the speed of light. That's what he was doing, and they didn't even know it.
Your bag went limp.
Oh, Josh went limp?
I do every day. Hello, dog.
Wah, wah, wah.
All right.
So basically he's saying Einstein was, in turn, using the military to actually do his own kind of experiments in space travel propulsion.
Dude, this guy's just on a fucking roll, bro.
Oh.
Einstein's smart. He's like, oh, I'm going to sucker these jackasses into paying for my experiments.
That's feasible. But, all right, quote. Einstein was on the test ship, the DE-168. Now, this is a whole different ship. I don't even know where that came from. But I was on the USS Furseth, which is true. We were in a military convoy with many ships. I was on the bow. There is a place where you can stand on the top thick covers, about a foot above the deck. That's where I was. The railing was curved. I hooked my left hand under the railing and leaned out as far as I could. The force field was under my nose. You might say, really, it was under my chest and neck. It had spread out from the target ship. I reached out into it with my right arm, and it kicked. That's why Einstein came to me. He saw me put my arm in. He wanted to know what I saw, what I had felt, if I smelled anything, and why I had done it. He sort of gave me an intelligence test, you might say.
Wow, that sounds very self-serving.
Once he realized that I did it out of a deep scientific curiosity.
I hate this guy.
I think we all do.
I want to punch him in the nose.
He spent some time with me.
I'm glad you died in Greeley.
Is this still Carl?
This is Carlos Allende.
Carl!
He gave me a rapid course in the physics of invisibility during the next 2.5 weeks.
No, bullshit, Carl. If you think you can learn physics that fucking Einstein did.
Fuck off, Carl.
Go to hell, Carl.
No one's interested in you.
I'm going to find that place where you died, and I'm going to tell them they need to close.
He sends them probably such a polite letter. You need to close.
You let this jackass live here?
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to finish you with this last thing from Carlos Allende. Quote, America has had the answer since 1943. All the answers are right under the nose of NASA and the Department of Defense, but they're still afraid. The secret is that the Philadelphia experiment is repeatable, and it should be repeated again and again. It will lead to star travel and a fleet of starships capable of protecting America. Space Force. Travel faster than light has been documented. Now we must learn again what Einstein knew in 43. Man can create transportation at speeds faster than light.
This man sounds full of shit and full of himself.
He then finishes the interview with why he loves Greeley.
Oh, wow.
What? I want to hear that part.
I did not write that. I basically told you, because he grew up on a farm and he loves the people there, small towns.
Loves the smell.
Probably loves the smell.
Wait, one last thing.
Jeez, I say when one last hey. Thing.
Sorry.
It's not your food. Stop.
Oh.
There is a drinking game, which is basically every time.
I don't want to fucking hear all that shit. Fuck you.
God, do I see you brought some British guy in there?
Sorry.
What the hell, Josh?
Fucking lobster backs. God damn it.
What are you doing?
The riot of color and life that exists on the coral reefs.
That's good enough.
All right.
Here we go.
Carl!
So that's it for Carlos Allende. He went and died after that.
That's why you never trust a man named Carl.
He went and died after that. It was on his list of things to do.
I would really, really love for this story to be over for you guys.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it,
because
bro.
My brain is hurting.
Dude.
After I went from Flat Earth to this, 2 weeks of this.
That's 3 weeks of fuck.
That is 3 weeks of my head hurting and crazy conspiracy theory. So going back to the movie, the Philadelphia Experiment movie in 1984, a science fiction film. The movie is set in 1943, where two sailors, David Hedderg and Jim Parker are stationed on the USS Elridge and used for an experiment to make it invisible to radar. However, the experiment goes horribly wrong and the ship completely disappears. Hedrick and Parker find themselves in the Nevada desert in 1984. They find out the program has been revived in 84, unexpectedly interacting with the experiment in 1943, putting the entire world in danger. That's the description of the movie, The Philadelphia Experiment. Okay?
Hmm. Okay.
I just want you to hold on to that.
The movie seemed way cooler than this guy's story.
Well, hold on.
Hold on.
After the movie came out, it sparked the brainwashed minds of two brothers named Duncan and Al, or Edward Cameron.
Nope.
The two brothers were actually stationed on the USS Elridge in 1943 for the Philadelphia Experiment. But instead of traveling with the rest of the crew, they jumped ship when things got weird. And instead of landing in the water, they fell through the vortex. And they came out in Montauk Point, New York, on August 12th, 1983, where the government had a secret new project going on. And they say it's unclear if they rematerialized in the underground base or above ground near the base.
And the government took the time to brainwash them in 1984? I'm throwing bullshit flags everywhere.
Hold on. Before we get into the brainwash.
Okay.
basically, this is where we're going to have to go into a whole other episode.
Hey.
We'll get Cody back for it. Obviously, it's not going to be the next episode because that's our celebrity guest. But this opens up the Montauk Project, which is actually the inspiration for the show Stranger Things. The project involves brainwashing, time travel, just all sorts of, you know, energy manipulation, all sorts of crazy things. Supposedly, these brothers hop right into this because in 83, they're using the time travel. They opened up, they basically reopened the Philadelphia experiment and then some. By reopening up this vortex in time, it created a hole back to 1943 that is just stuck open. That's why the two brothers jumped out of the ship and traveled to this exact point. Hmm. Now, the government in 1983 knew the project was failing because the project in 43 was stuck on or going or open. They sent the two brothers back to smash the Philadelphia Project in 43.
To smash it with large hammers?
Smash the generators, yeah, just stop it. So they did. They sent them back, and they caught it while it was rematerializing Norfolk, and they smashed the generators, which is actually what made it stop midway, go back to Philadelphia, and cause the weirdness of people getting stuck and all that.
Oh, no.
Now, these guys travel time multiple times. One of them actually died, though. So the government goes back, finds their father, convinces them to have another kid.
What?
They raise this kid, but they take the soul of the original Cameron brother and they put it in this kid. So it's
we
the same.
We have that ability now, too?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here.
So it's the same person, but new. Guys, this is a hint of the Montauk Project.
Fuck
this is
this.
Birthed
oh
from the Philadelphia Experiment. You thought it would be over. You thought it would
you
be
thought.
Over. But it's not. Josh is over here trying to flex his new furniture muscles.
That's not what I'm doing, bro. I'm fucking my brain hurts, bro.
Yeah, your brain hurts. but that's it. That's an episode for another day, and we're going to get into the Montauk Project soon.
All right, I'm down, bro. Let's fucking do it.
We've gone through the Philadelphia Experiment and Carlos Allende.
Fuck that guy.
If your head doesn't
seriously.
Hurt, you're probably crazy, too.
Yeah, I hope you guys smoked weed for me.
I hope you guys were smoking and drinking, because that's the only way I've been getting through this.
So essentially, you just told the story of people just making up nonsense.
Okay, so here's the crazy part about, especially with these Montauk Project guys, because there's more people involved. There's, like, at least six guys that are saying they remember now. Like, they've decommissioned the brainwash from their brain. These guys sit around straight-faced fucking talking about it. And I just don't understand, like, God, they might, like.
I mean, ultimately, the theory of creating these these traveling possibilities for humankind. That's amazing.
These men are talking like their memories and just straight face saying these things. Like the audacity of it, it's insane. Like if you look up Montauk Project on YouTube, it's like Philadelphia. If you see a big fat guy in like some low quality video and he's sitting around a bunch of like stereo equipment. This is one of the guys from the Montauk Project. He's sitting next to one of the Duncan brothers. They talk for an hour and a half. It will melt your brain, but feel free to watch it. I did, and I'm a worse person for it.
Did they corroborate any details with each other?
Yes. Again, this is a whole other episode worth of stuff. So I'm going to leave you guys there. Does anybody else have anything?
King Lust EP dropping soon.
Josh, new EP coming out soon.
Yeah.
We'll definitely drop some music on the show for you guys to sample it. Other than that, Cody, thanks for being here again. Whether you like it or not, you will be invited back for the Montauk Project.
I will be here and I will like it. My hurt more.
Yeah. High five to that.
Miranda, thanks for filling in for Steve. Like I said, Steve, good luck wherever you're at. And I have to pee really bad, same. So we're going to wrap this up and
keep it weird.
Keep it weird.
Well, I never knew anything like that in the whole of my life.
Nice.